You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, church family. Can you hear me? Is this on?
Yep.
Awesome. Do you guys know why the covering works? Because God works. God works. He really does. And I don't think this video and, you know, really does explains a lot. But if you came to our church in Grove City, Church of God, and anywhere you went inside that church, either the kids, the youth, the media, whatever, there is the covering women are scattered throughout our whole church, serving in every aspect of our church. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It is absolutely amazing. So, but I do want to say one thing. I stepped into this church today. I have not been here. I don't know too many of you guys. I know Uncle David over there. I saw him when he walked in. And, but I didn't know anybody here. And as soon as I walked in, you guys gave me one of those welcome packages, greeted me, said hi, and just was loving on us. And I was like, wow. I was like, the Lord is in this church. His presence is here. And then Dan, is it Dan? He's like, hey, come back here, man. I'm going to get you mic'd up. I was like, oh, man. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. Last time I preached, I think it was like over a year ago. But he's like, hey, I'm going to get you mic'd up. And he's like, hey, here's this water I'm going to give you. And then he's like, hey, do you like this mint or do you like this mint? I was like, dude. I'm like, man, this guy is great. And he's like, at 10 minutes till, we're going to go back here and pray. I was like, man, I'm in the right church. And then we come back in here, and then the worship starts. Wow. I mean, your devotion, right on point to what I'm going to be talking about as well. Right on point. And then you know, the way you guys are worshiping right away, the Lord's presence, it's just, he's here. He's here. And I just love how people were just coming up to the altar as well. So it was awesome. And I just want to say I'm so thankful and grateful to be with you guys this morning. Okay? So let's get into the Word of God, all right? So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I call this the John 3:16 of Romans. The John 3:16 of Romans, okay? Romans chapter 5. Yes, please stand. Please stand. I encourage you, please, if you have a Bible, open up that Bible. I don't know if they're going to put the scriptures up there or not. I'm okay with that. But if you don't have a Bible, please bring one. If you don't have a Bible, then open up your phone, okay? There is something about the Word of God. When you open up His Word and you start reading those words on the page, it comes alive. It really does. It's amazing. And that's what His Word says, too. It does come alive, okay? Is everybody there? Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. Romans 6 through 11. Okay? It says, for while we were still helpless at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God, He proves, but God demonstrates, but God shows His own love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than since we have now been declared righteous by His blood, we will be saved through Him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, okay? We were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Oh, Father, gracious and merciful Lord, thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that's come upon your people right now, Father. Lord, I thank you for your gospel right now that we just read. And Lord, I pray that your gospel will continue to save us. Like you said, Lord, it's so powerful. We just talked about testimonies where your gospel saved us, Lord. And it continues to save us, Father. Lord, your gospel not only saves us, but it declares us to be righteous. It declares us to be reconciled with you, Father. And so, Lord, right now, Lord, your Holy Spirit, I pray that it would convict us, Lord, that would lead us to you, Father. Lead us back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Like I said, I'm not a preacher. I'm more of a teacher, so I might call on some of you. Maybe this guy who's sitting in front right here. Or I might hop down. I'm not sure. So, verse 6, it says, "For while we were helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly." So you look at that word helpless. For while we were helpless, maybe some of your guys' versions might say without strength. Okay, I think the New King James says without strength. Or weak, you might say weak. What does it mean to be helpless? I'm going to pick on you. What does that mean to be helpless? Nobody around. Would you be able to help yourself, though?
Depending.
There might be a point in time, though, you won't be able to help yourself, right? Yeah. Who here knows what it's like to be helpless? Yeah. This guy knows what it's like to be helpless. I, too, was a drug addict for about 14 years. Okay? 14 years. I finally caught a felony charge. I got put in jail, not once, not twice, not even three times, nine times I got put in jail. And while I was on probation for 4 years, the first 3.5 years, I was drug tested well over 200 times. I failed 16 drug tests for my probation officer. On my last one, I failed. He looked at me and he said, "Mr. McDowell, what is wrong with you? You are absolutely crazy." And I looked at him and I said, "I know. I had literally had lost my mind because of what drugs had done to me." I did. He said, "Get out of my office. You need to go find a place to get help or I'm going to send you to prison," because I had time over my head. I found my sister-in-law found a place called the Refuge Ministries. You guys know where it's at? Okay, so I'm in the right place, because Vinton County has a special place in my heart, okay? When I came into the refuge, the first month, we drove down to Vinton County. I was like, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I was like, what is this place? What's that? Yeah. Well, so the refuge has a house right off of Route 50, okay? And you guys know where Raccoon Creek is?
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm in the right place again. Yes. So it was down there, and we went down across these bridges, and I was, like, kind of coming off drugs at that time. And we got there to this house right off Raccoon Creek. And the first week I was there, I spent withdrawing from some of the worst withdrawals someone can go through. But that next week, I was sitting in a little study area, and a guy came and he told me about this gospel. He told me that Jesus Christ died for me. And at that moment, that very moment, God opened my eyes to see his love, to see his forgiveness. I was able to see my sin as it was, how I rebelled against him. From that moment on, okay, I repented of my sins, and I said, "Lord, I want to follow you." 2 weeks later, I said, "Pastor, I want to get baptized." He said, all right, let's go. He grabbed my hand. We went down to Raccoon Creek. And we went out in that cold, chilled water. And he baptized me in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit that month of September 2016. Okay? So from that moment on, that the Lord has had his hand on my life this whole time. I stayed at the refuge for 25 months. When I got out of the refuge, Christy started working at the refuge. And we saw each other, but you know, nothing was going on, but then I started spitting some scripture out one time. And something happened. And she was like, oh, wow. From that moment on, I had her. So, yes. So if there's any guy here, you know, memorize some scripture, you know. Because a godly woman is going to be looking for a man who's after the Lord's, his heart. Okay? Makes sense? All right. So, for while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, okay, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus is always on time, isn't he? Amen. Always on time. He's never late, right? It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord doesn't delay his promise, as some would understand delay. But he's patient with us, isn't he? Not wanting any of us to perish, but all to come to what? Who said that? Repentance. Good job. Yeah. All to come to repentance, okay? So it's the right moment, okay? And he died for who? The ungodly, yes. Who's the ungodly?
All of us.
All of us. I know I am. But Christ died for us, okay? And then verse 7? For rarely will someone die for a just person, okay? Though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God, right? But God, yes. He proves, he demonstrates, he shows his own love for us. That Christ died for us, didn't he? While we were still sinners. While we were ungodly. While we were helpless. Christ died for us, didn't he? Was it our love for him that he died for us? No. No. It's his love. His love for us. So that's why I say this is the John 3:16 in Romans. Because John 3:16, how's John 3:16 go? Amen. Yes. 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 For God loved us, didn't he? Yep. And also it says in 1 John chapter 4, it said love consists in this way that not that we loved him, but that God loved us. And he gave his son to be what's called a propitiation for our sins. Who knows what that word is, propitiation? Huh? Yeah. It's a sacrifice. Yeah. It's a sacrifice that allows God to be merciful toward the guilty. He was the perfect sacrifice, wasn't he? Yep. So, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then it says, much more than, okay? I love it when God says this, okay? Because it's not going to be the first time. He says this three times. You ever watch an infomercial? It says, hey, if you buy this, but wait, there's more. You buy one, you're going to get two of these, right? And we get excited on a commercial, but right here in God's word, he's saying it right here to us, okay? Not only did Christ die for you, but there's much more. There's so much more. Much more than, since we have now, say now.
Now.
Since now we have been declared righteous, or maybe some of your Bibles might say justified. They use those words interchangeably in certain versions. We have been declared righteous by what? What's that? By his blood. We have been declared righteous by his blood. How else are we declared righteous? How else? So look at chapter 5, verse 1. Read it real quick. If you have your Bibles open, and answer it. Go ahead and read it. how else are we declared righteous? Say it real loud. Who said that? By faith, yes. By faith, okay? Declared righteous by his blood. That's in verse 9. Verse 1, it says we're declared righteous by faith, okay? And who's our faith in?
Jesus.
Jesus. Our only faith and trust is in him, isn't it? Okay? So, since now we've been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath. Okay? What does that mean to be declared righteous? To be declared righteous or declared justified. What does that mean to you? Sins are forgiven. Okay. Peace. Peace with who? With God. Through Christ. Okay. I'll take that. When the Bible says now that we are declared righteous, okay, that moment we believe we were declared righteous. That word righteous or justified, it's a legal term. It means God from his throne has declared you and me to be right with him, okay? And not only are we declared right with him, but he begins to treat us as being right with him. We become his children. He becomes our father, doesn't he? Yes. This is good news, you guys, isn't it? We're declared right with him. And he begins to treat us as being right with him. Okay? So we're declared righteous by his blood. And we're saved through him from wrath. Whose wrath are we saved from? God's wrath. Yes. We're saved from his wrath. Now, who took on that wrath for us?
Jesus
did. Absolutely. You guys are smart. Good. That's awesome. Yes. Like you had talked about when he was talking about Isaiah 53, when he came up here and read that, you know, he took on that wrath for us. He was bruised for our iniquities, wasn't he? Yeah. He took on that punishment. The punishment that we deserved. Christ took that on himself, didn't he? So that we can be saved. Okay? So that we can be saved. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. Okay? What's that word? You see that word enemies? Who here has got some enemies here? Yeah. We have an adversary, too, that's against us. Yep. But before Christ, okay, we were considered enemies. And while we were enemies, Christ died for us, didn't he? We were enemies, we were ungodly, we were sinners, and we were helpless. Okay? You guys see all those words that we just talked about in his word. Okay? But now, because of Christ, we're declared righteous, we're saved, and then we use this word called reconcile. Amen. Reconcile. Can anybody tell me what reconcile means? Brought back together? Yep. Sir, you seem to be paying attention too. That's good. Have you ever been in an argument with your wife? Are you unreconcilable or no? Yeah. You made up. But do we all know what it's like when we're not reconciled to one another? Okay? But when you do make up. But when you do. Listen, well, we came from Columbus. We had an hour and a half drive, and my wife's looking over. I was driving, And I kind of hit the gas a little too hard. And all this white smoke came out or something like that. And my wife's like, what are you doing to my car? I was like, sorry. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I was cleaning it out. But when it takes, what it means to be reconciled, but the, when you have a disagreement and it's not reconciled, but the moment we humble ourselves, right, and we repent of our sins, and then we reconcile with one another, what's that feeling that you get when you're reconciled to one another? Peace. It's beautiful, isn't it? Yes. Guys, family, we have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father through the death of Jesus Christ. We have been, okay? This is the best news ever, isn't it? It's good news, isn't it? All right? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved through His life, right? And it says, not only that, there's more, okay? Not only that. I love how God, in His Word, you know, God's not going to, like, yell at you, is He? Okay? In His Word, if you read a lot, what does God like to do when He wants to get His point across? Yes, who said that? Yes. God will repeat Himself. Not once, not twice, but He'll do that. And there are certain scriptures in there throughout the Bible where God will repeat Himself. And usually that's a pretty important thing, okay? And so we see here that God's like saying, hey, not only that, but there's more. There's more. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen.
Amen.
I absolutely love coming here this morning, worshiping with you guys. It was real. Amen. It was authentic. I could tell. I was like, wow, this church rejoices in the Lord. Yes. I could see it. It was beautiful. So I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Okay? Us Christians, we should be the most rejoicing people. Yes. On the planet of this earth, right? Amen. Because we know Him, and He knows us. Amen. And we are reconciled to Him. We have been reconciled to Him. Amen. Amen. So, those three things that I talked about, being declared righteous, being saved, and being reconciled to God, are all three of those a reality in your life? Are they a reality? Do you guys understand that we have been declared righteous? That we're made right with Him? And He treats us as being right with Him? And that we're saved? Not only do we have life now, but eternal life. An abundant life right now. Because it's no longer our life. He is our life. He is our life. All the scriptures that talk about Christ being our life. John 14:6. Who knows that? Jesus says, I am the what? The way, the truth, the life. Yes. John 11:25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the what? And the life. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. We have no life. Okay? We have life in His name. So, and we're saved. And we're reconciled. When we're reconciled to God, He becomes our Father, doesn't He? You guys just listen to these testimonies from the covering. I mean, we have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father. He's not a distant God. He's not someone who's far away. But He's a God that is with us, in relationship with us, isn't He? Yes. All right. Well, what I'd like to close, okay? You guys know who Paul is in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Apostle Paul, he wrote to Timothy. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 12, he says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me and he's considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. One who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an arrogant man. And since it was out of ignorance that I had acted in unbelief, I received mercy. And the grace of our Lord overflowed, along with the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Folks, listen to me. This saying is trustworthy, and it's deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And I am the worst. I am the worst. But I received mercy. My wife received mercy. My sons have received mercy. Elaine has received mercy. So that in us, the worst, Christ Jesus might demonstrate the utmost patience as an example to those who would believe in him. Amen. For eternal life. Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So right now, what I'd like to do, if there's anyone here, okay, anyone here that, you know what's, it could be, you know, we're talking about, the covering deals with a lot of like, you know, women that have struggled with addiction or anything like that, you know. If there's anyone here that might be struggling with any type of addiction, okay, it doesn't have to be drug addiction. It could be like pornography. It could be you're addicted to your phone. You know that you've been saved and that God loves you and that you're reconciled to him. But for some reason, you know that you feel like there's a disconnect with the Lord right now, okay? Or you might be, addicted to prescription pills. That was my drug of choice, prescription pills, okay? If there's anyone here that's struggling with any type of addiction or anything like that, I pray that right now that these altars are open. My wife's going to come up here. Elaine's going to come up here. And we would love to pray for you. And it might not just be you. Maybe you might have a relative. You might have a brother or sister, a cousin, a nephew, somebody who's struggling with addiction. Okay? And you want to talk to us about anything about that. And we'll sit here and we'll pray with you. And we'll talk about it, okay? So right now, I want this altar to be open, and I'd love for anyone to come up right now. Maybe you heard that this gospel, and you're not sure, that you've made that decision, that you want to take that step forward and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now's the time to do that, okay? So please, if anyone would love to come on up here, honey, Elaine. If there's anyone that would come up here, we'll pray with you. We would love to pray with you. So, the altar's open. Come on up. Come on up.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.